Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, the death of Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar, the mastermind of the October 7th attacks on Israel, is being hailed as a potential pivot in the conflict in the Middle East. Killed during a street battle with Israeli forces, Sinwar was an uncompromising hardliner who was Israel's most sought-after target, and his death represents a significant victory for Benjamin Netanyahu. Lise Doucette, BBC's chief international correspondent, is on the line now. Lise, thank you for joining us this morning. I mean, this could be a moment for Benjamin Netanyahu to say, look, we've got our man, which means we've won this war. We can now go about ending the conflict in Gaza. But there are a number of reasons why he may not choose to do that, aren't there?
Yes, indeed. Prime Minister Netanyahu, the Israeli Defence Forces in general, can now say they got not just their man, but their most wanted man, the person they believe was the mastermind of the October 7th attacks, the deadliest day in Israeli history. And it had often been said that until Yahya Sinwar was eliminated, they could not claim the kind of total victory that Prime Minister Netanyahu has been talking about since the start. But it's still not clear whether he will listen to his allies like the United States, who are now saying this is an opportunity to move towards a ceasefire. The families of the hostages still held in Gaza took to the streets yet again last night, saying now is the time to prioritize them, to bring them home. There's going to be a meeting in about 45 minutes of the security cabinet chaired by Prime Minister Netanyahu. It's being said that will discuss the hostages. But Prime Minister Netanyahu's other wars divide. The killing of one man, as important as he is, doesn't mean for Israel the end of the war. And of course, there are other more important wars, it seems, in Israel's sights right now, which is in Lebanon and that expected attack against Iran.
You mentioned the families of the hostages, and I just thought it was interesting reading what one of those family members said to reporters. They said if Netanyahu doesn't use this moment and doesn't get up now to lay out a new Israeli initiative, even at the expense of ending the war, it means he's decided to abandon the hostages in an effort to prolong the war and fortify his rulership. It's quite the accusation levelled at Netanyahu. Do you think at that meeting, as you said, in 45 minutes, that would be front of mind with him?
He's heard that criticism many times when Israel pivoted to devote more resources to the war, the second front as it's been called since the beginning, in Lebanon. Many hostages families of hostages were dismayed then that this meant that effectively the hostages were being forsaken, that Prime Minister Netanyahu was no longer focusing on them. There have been weeks now where there haven't been any discussions on a hostage deal for Gaza. He seems to make a virtue of saying no, not to the families, because of course this is a very emotional issue in Israel, but he boasts about saying no to his allies because he wants to protect Israel at all costs. And he will feel vindicated that this was a chance encounter really by a group of trainee soldiers who happened upon a demolished house, and there was Yahya Sinwar inside, and they didn't know until they actually went to identify one of the bodies. But Prime Minister Netanyahu also is already saying, you know, my allies told me don't go into Rafah, and I went into Rafah. I stayed in Rafah, the southernmost corner of the Gaza Strip, and that is where Yahya Sinwar was eventually tracked down. And there had been many saying, you know, do a ceasefire deal, do a deal even to allow Yahya Sinwar to leave along with other Hamas leaders, go into exile. And he will say, I was right all along. We have to continue this war until our war aims are achieved.
I'm interested in talking to you about Hamas now. I mean, that extraordinary footage which you touched on there, which is apparently showing us the final minutes of Yahya Sinwar's life, sitting in that bombed out building. He's wounded. He's attempting to destroy the Israeli drone, which is filming him just a few feet away. Now, you could look at that and say that it will serve as a rallying call for Hamas. But how damaged is the organization by his loss?
The organization will certainly use that image. So will other groups allied to Hamas. Israel had been saying that Yahya Sinwar was deep in an underground bunker. He wasn't in control of his troops. He was surrounded by hostages. And yet there he was in the open in his military fatigues. And his last act as a wounded man was to throw a stick at the drone as he saw it advancing. And therefore, yes, it will be used for recruitment purposes, for propaganda purposes. Hamas's history with Israel has been a constant assassination of Hamas political leaders, military leaders. And Israel has killed many other leaders during the last year of war. They will be replaced, but it will cause difficulties. And it isn't just, of course, the leaders that have been struck by Israel. Israel has been hammering away at Hamas's infrastructure, its reserves, its positions in Gaza. It has definitely weakened it, but not destroyed it. And many of Hamas's, in fact, all of Hamas's political leaders now live in exile, and they will keep the spirit and the defiance of the organization going. And there is a worry that someone more extreme than Yahya Sinwar, who is regarded as the most extreme and brutal and ruthless of all the Hamas leaders, could actually now take his place.
Mm-hmm. Because you could look at it the other way and say that, you know, someone may come in there now who mightn't be as uncompromising as Yahya Sinwar, and that might offer some hope of a route to a ceasefire or peace between the two sides.
The difficulty now is, who do they talk to? Who has the authority to do the deal? I'm sure your listeners have heard about how the protracted process and incredibly difficult process of trying to get messages back and forth with Yahya Sinwar, who didn't use any kind of modern communications. He used messages on pieces of paper that were taken by runners because he didn't want to be detected by the Israelis. So it sometimes took weeks to get a message from him on new proposals in the ceasefire deal. Someone more who is more obtainable will possibly stand in his place, but will he have the immediate authority to take those kinds of really, really decisions which could mean which will dictate the future of Hamas as an organization?
And then we have, you know, what way now will the United States react to this news, to the death of Yahya Sinwar? Will they increase their pressure on Israel to scale back operations in Gaza? How does it change the United States strategy?
The United States has for many weeks been saying the too many civilians are dying, that Israel has a right to defend itself, but civilians in Gaza are paying too high a price. They have been urging it to clinch the deal that they say was 90% done. They will use this opportunity to press again their point that now is the time to move towards securing the hostages and looking for a ceasefire in Gaza and also in Lebanon, and to reduce the risk of an even greater war with Iran. They will do it, but time and again, Prime Minister Netanyahu listens to the Americans with whom he couldn't, without the American military support, the weapons, the financial aid, he couldn't wage this war. But he, as in the past, he's listened but gone his own way, saying that I have to do what's right for Israel. And right now, his popularity will be riding high in the poll. He's essentially decapitated the main leaders of Hezbollah. He's now taken out Yahya Sinwar, the most wanted man, and therefore he feels he's got the wind in his sails. He may as well just keep going.
Mm-hmm. Just in the last few minutes, the UN Humanitarian Office is telling us again that Israeli forces, they believe, have been using lethal warlike tactics in the West Bank, raising serious concerns. The frustration is that we can't see that for ourselves, because from the beginning of this, reporters haven't been allowed in to Gaza, people like yourself and your colleagues. There is no change on that. There's no movement, is there, Lise? I know it's not for the lack of trying.
No, this is a war which has been unprecedented in so many ways, first of all for the deaths and the kidnapping of Israelis on October the 7th, and then the extraordinary pain that the Gazans are now suffering, more than 42,000 dead, and in fact a figure that's believed to be an underestimation because so many bodies are still trapped under the rubble. Journalists have not been allowed to go in, so we have had to rely on what can only be called heroic reporting of Palestinian journalists, having to report on a story which is their own story and the lives of their own family who've been dying, again in unprecedented numbers. Journalists can go to the occupied West Bank, and journalists, including BBC journalists, have seen with their own eyes the abuses and the harassment of Israeli settlers who feel they are empowered by the right-wing members, settlers in Prime Minister Netanyahu's cabinet. The UN says, again, an unprecedented number of Palestinians are dying in the West Bank in these months of war in Gaza, and also that land is being illegally seized under the eyes of the Israeli government and security forces.
Lise, thank you very much for your time once again. Lise Doucette, BBC Chief International Correspondent. Coming up next on the programme, we're going to hear how the new GAA rules will change football games this weekend.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.